Please be seated. Viktor Frankl is a person whose book, The Search for Meaning, or Man's Search for Meaning, has had a profound impact on my life. I read it when I was about 22, when I was questioning all kinds of things and trying to find a path, any path that made sense. When I look back, I used to think that I was really struggling, but then as I've gotten to know more people, the struggles I was having at the time were not nearly as significant as they could have been, but the questions were there. And I remember one particular passage, and if you've ever read him, he was a Jewish person in the Holocaust, he was a neurologist and a psychologist, brilliant person, saw his life's work burned up in a fire, where they had taken his notebooks and all the research that he'd spent his entire life devoted to, and they just did away with it in a second. And he was talking about what it was to survive. And he said something that really has always stayed with me. He said, the thing is, in any given situation, no matter how bad, how horrid, or how good, or how wonderful, you always have a choice in your attitude and how you perceive things. He said, somewhere between the stimulus and the response, you have a choice, and that's where humanity lives. Well, think about that for a minute. Seems a little heady, right? So what that means is that we always have a choice. Our attitude, our reflection, who we are, and where we go. We have a choice in how we choose to interpret the situation and how we choose to behave right in that moment. Viktor Frankl would survive, and he would go on to develop a whole school of psychotherapy to help people in their lives, in whatever situations they might have been, from that little bit of revelation that he found in one of the most difficult situations. All Saints' Day, a celebration of famous saints. It's really funny. We have a calendar of saints in the Episcopal Church that we follow, and every day, almost every day, there's somebody famous or infamous, and sometimes, that we read about. And what's really funny is when we read about them, it always talks about all the things they did. And then if you ever do any research into the saints, they are not the nicest people in the world. More often than not, they're selfish, self-centered, difficult, persistent. They really bother the leadership at the time. They sort of nag on everyone, and they don't do things like everybody else does. They don't look, at the moment, nearly as saintly as the church eventually names them to be. And yet we celebrate them for a particular reason. They choose faith. They choose faith over and above everything else, and they take risks. Sometimes the risk is to care for those who are impoverished. Sometimes the risk is to put 95 corrections of the church on a door, which was Martin Luther's thing, on Halloween, no less. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that. Kind of a little piece of trivia, if you ever get it. There are others who made choices to care for those that no one would care for. Think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Saints take risks, but they do so out of their faith, out of what they believe. Really, out of what Viktor Frankl talks about, their ability to choose who they're going to be in any given situation. You see, if we go back and we dig a little deeper into Genesis, into our faith, really that's what separates us from the rest of the kingdom, so to speak, is that choice. We know the story is Adam and Eve, and they're there, and there's the apple and the snake and the serpent and all this kind of stuff, and there's a choice right there to be good or to be evil. To have knowledge, there's the choice. And from that moment on in our understanding of theology, we have that choice laid before us. And I often wonder if we really think about that or if we know. We can speak up. We can be changed. We can change the situation that we're in. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was volunteered at the school to read citizenship essays. And she One of them is that got second place was this really profound essay written by a young man. And it really goes, was simple, but it was such a great example of that choice. It starts off with a young man sitting by himself. He says, "There I sit by myself with no friends and no one to know. And there you come, willing to talk to me, willing to say hello. And soon you invite me to talk with the others that are sitting at your table, and lo and behold, I have some friends." And then good times begin, and then we go on and we go on, and this is how the world has changed. By looking for the lonely or those who are alone, by looking for the outcast, by looking for those who have no friends, and taking them in. I hope that young man keeps that at the center of his life. But what is it going to take for him to be reminded? Why do you come to church? I know for this service, it's probably not the coffee. Maybe in the morning for that. Is it for the fellowship? Is it for scripture? Is it to listen to a sermon? To have communion? To be in the fellowship with others? To be encouraged? Or is it to live out your faith and to be reminded? To be reminded in your everyday life, at least for a little bit, on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, of what you're called to be in God's kingdom. To get those subtle reminders so that in the choices we make throughout the day, we're reminded what we're called to be as people of faith. So why do you come church? I remember not long after I read Victor's book, I spent some time in a monastery, and I prayed probably for the first time in my life where I really prayed. I'd prayed before the way I've been taught to pray in Sunday school, and I prayed and at meetings and things like that, but I think I really prayed. And I asked God, help me make the changes I need to make in my life to be a better person and to be a better servant. And I started praying daily. I used the Book of Common Prayer. I would use other stuff. I would read the Bible on occasion. I played a game one time where I tried to write new psalms by picking pieces of other psalms and realized that was really, I probably should leave it to the psalmist several thousand years ago. It wasn't a good idea. I tried all kinds of different things, and what I found was in that daily prayer, my life began to change. I became a better student because I was more disciplined about my prayer life. I became a better friend because I was more disciplined about my prayer life. I became a better worker in my jobs because of my prayer life. I became a better human being. I became human because of the things I found in my prayer life. And doors began to open in different kind of ways. Not everyone is called to any particular path, but we're all called to be people of faith. So we remember the saints on this day. We remember them to inspire us, to remind us, and to help us to recall. Today is also Stewardship Sunday. So here's another question for you. Why do you give to the church? Have you thought about that? Why, when the plate is passed, or through auto debit or through whatever means or the envelopes that come or the way that you mail, why do you give to the church? Is it really because we send you a letter saying that we need money to do things? Or is it because of your faith? Sometimes giving is a challenge. Sometimes giving is a hard thing to start. There might be someone in this room who's never really given before, and there might be others who've been giving for a long time and are quite good at it. I remember I did a study in my MBA stuff about this, about why people give, not just to the church, but why people give. And I was kind of astounded to find out the reason. For some, it's just because they want to give. For others, it's because they see other people giving. For some, they hope they might get something out of it. And for some, they do it only out of a pure sense of goodness and wholeness. And then they said, and you do it all those different ways throughout your life. There's nobody that really fits into one category or another. And then I started thinking about it, praying about it, and I was like, why do I give? And I think at one point in my ministry, I gave because I should, because I'm ordained, right? It's a good idea if you're a clergy, give to the church, to set an example. There's another time in my life when I gave because I hoped that other people might see me giving. You know what I mean by that? And then there's other times when it comes from that pure place of faith, when I can truly give. And the funny thing is, as time has gone on, I want to give more in my life. You know that Kelly works for Children's International and does a lot of work in helping people be sponsored. She's in Florida right now at a Hispanic conference somewhere in Miami doing that very thing. We have three children, a couple from El Salvador, one from, I believe, Venezuela, that we've adopted. We hear from them on occasion. It doesn't cost us much, maybe the equivalent of a meal a month for our family. And those students receive so much from the little bit that we give. I think about St. Thomas and the impact that we have on the community around us. And I think about St. Thomas and the potential impact we have on the community around us. And I wonder what people think of us that are outside of the church. It's All Saints Day. It's Stewardship Day. So maybe the question before us is how will we be remembered for the lives that we live? Will we be remembered for how much we saved? Will we be remembered for what we did? Or will we be remembered for the impact that we had on others? It's an honor as a priest to be at baptisms, and it's an honor as a priest to be at someone's death. I've been here about 9 years, and I think, if I'm totaled right, I've been with about 150 people in this congregation who passed away at some point near the end of their life. And I've been with more people who've been baptized as infants, about 160. And there's a funny thing that happens when those two things happen in the same week. When you hold an infant and you say promises and you see the hope of the life that's before them. And then when you hold the hand of someone in their final moments or hours, and you see the end of this life and the beginning of the next. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross writes about what people regret. And there's been an article sort of floating around the internet lately about the same thing. And more often than not, what people say is, I wish I didn't go to so many meetings. I wish I didn't work as hard. I wish I'd spent more time with my family and friends. I wish I'd given more to my partner. I wish I'd gotten down and played with my children a little more. I wish I'd lived my favorite ones that she talks about. I wish I'd sold more flowers. It's funny what we think about when it's over. But if we could grasp that at the beginning, and it changes everything. In the gospel for today, we hear the blessings. Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who take risks. Blessed. What if we lived our life in a way to be blessed by this list and not by the blessings of the world? What if we make a choice in each hour, each moment, each day, whatever we're doing, to live our faith right then, as best we can, right in that moment. What if we go to church to be reminded Sunday after Sunday, to be encouraged, to be inspired, to live that faith in the world even stronger? What if that proportional giving calls you to give more of your life? And I think we get it. And I think we're on that saintly road, so to speak. Now, there's another part to this, and that's the vestries and the clergy's and the staff's responsibility to continue to call this church to a place of faith. So think of those things that we do. Maybe you've been to a Bible study. Maybe you're in a small group. Maybe you participate in an outreach ministry, the many outreach ministries we have. Maybe you care for the gardens. Maybe you have ministered to people who are in times of need. Maybe you have done all kinds of things for this congregation and for others. And maybe we recall what our community can be when our community hurts, when we open the doors and we say, come and pray with us, and thousands of people enter this place in moments of tragedy. I think that's at the heart of who we are as a church. I'm probably not a saint. I'm probably an all soul. But St. Thomas can be. Our community can do amazing things for the place that we are living. So here's the challenge for you this week. Be people of faith. Know the power that you have been given by God to make a choice in any moment. Let me just say that again. Recognize the power that God has given you in being able to choose. And choose wisely. And choose faith. Amen.